As the traditional notion of a data center changes and enterprise data are being sent to numerous locations, the challenge of keeping data secure is evolving. In this edition of the Isoca podcast, we're speaking with Steve Ross, author of the Isoca Journal Volume 5 article titled Information Security in the Multimodal Era. To begin, can you tell us a little bit about what a multimodal architecture is?
The concept of a data center is still stuck in the middle of the 20th century of, you know, a bunch of boffins in white coats running around pushing buttons and hanging tapes. You know, anybody who's spent any time in a data center in the past decade or so knows that it's really a fairly small place. It's in the dark for the most part. There are very few, if any, people in there. In fact, anytime I've had to go into a data center, it's like an event because nobody's been there for 6 months. Obviously not quite 6 months. I mean, people do have to install equipment and fix things that go down, but it's a rare incident. It doesn't happen every day. What's happening on top of that is that companies are coming to the realization that they really don't need to be in the real estate business. Why should they have to manage the heating, the air conditioning, the power, the resilience of the power, the flooring, the ceilings, the cabling, when there are other companies that do that perfectly well? It's the difference between owning your own home and buying a condo. Why not move into a co-location center? And so you see more and more of that happening. Fewer and fewer of my clients actually have data centers. Add to that the cloud. Add to that managed services. Add to that internet-based services, which are not necessarily the same thing as the cloud. The software as a service does not necessarily have to be delivered in a cloud architecture. It just has to be a remote location that's being accessed over the internet. And you've got all different types of insourcing, outsourcing, side sourcing that changes what the meaning of a data center is and how IT is being done, or put another way, the modes in which applications and infrastructure are being executed. So it's multimodal. What is a parallel to that is recognition by the community that provides these data centers and remote services that all of these can be packaged and sold. So we're talking about multimodal service providers. A company that you can go to have a remote co-located data center and the cloud at the same time, for example. So we're seeing a remarkable revolution in the concept of what IT operations is in the first place.
How might the role of data center staff change in a multimodal era?
In some ways, not at all. Because as I said, they're rarely going into the data center anyway. They're looking at terminals and consoles. But in another way, it's going to be a remarkable change in the outlook of the professionals who are doing operations, from actually doing things to making sure that others do them. There will always have to be what I call in the article touch labor, which a term I kind of hate, but it's kind of been accepted. The people who actually have hands on the equipment, you're still going to need to attach a cable. You're still going to need to pull a circuit pack. There's things that have to be done, but you don't need a full-time specialized staff to sit there and wait for those things to happen. But you do need to have somebody who's going to make sure that they get done, which will be the current IT operations staff. Open question, one that has a lot of ramifications in terms of labor management and skills management, as to how many of those people are going to be needed. Will it be the same? Will it be more? And whether they need to be physically present at company headquarters, or can that function be outsourced as well? That's way open question, and I don't think nobody that I know has gotten far enough to figure that out.
What are some of the implications of moving away from central business-owned data centers?
It's just reflecting what has been going on from a business perspective of businesses, business units, business functions, seeing a product that product or service that makes sense to them. For example, the central customer files, CRM files, customer relationship management, which were the heartbeat of many companies. Certainly the sales sides of many companies have been replaced by third-party services, most notably Salesforce.com, which came out of nowhere and became a powerhouse. There are other examples that abound. So if you all that the data center is doing is providing an internet gateway to reach those applications, which could be done from home or from a coffee shop or from anywhere, You again revert to the question of why do we need to have that on our premises? There will always be a need for some, I'll use the word data center for lack of a better word, on premises, if only to be able to reach all the other services, all the things that have been outsourced. At some point, it all has to come into the building. So it may not be much more than a telecommunications closet, but still, that has to be managed too. And of course, because everything flows through a central point, that becomes itself a single point of failure, raising other questions about how you're going to protect that.
Your column says that it's necessary to address who guards the guardians. Why is this necessary in the context of a multimodal architecture?
One of the kinds of services that is increasingly being outsourced, has been outsourced for a while and it's being done more so, is security management. People who review logs and looking for anomalies, looking for invalid sign-ons and so on. Now this can be also issuing access controls, managing firewalls, managing encryption keys, doing the whole key management, incident response. I can keep on going. The tasks of the information security department can be, to a great, great extent, being outsourced. And I see in many, many companies that the role of security has been split in two, that the information security professionals are, for the most part, policymakers and policy enforcers, whereas the actual operation of security controls falls to operations. The operations can make sure that the firewall works. Firewalls were once the raison d'etre for having a security department, and now it's just another appliance, which is great as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we always said we should build security into daily processes. Well, that refers to IT operations, too.
Your column also talks about a virtual console. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how it can provide visibility into all the enterprise's environments?
Well, yeah, you know what? One funny thing is that I've been using the term with clients for some time. And when I wrote the article and I wrote it down, I said, gee, I wonder if that's a term being used by other people. So I looked it up and found out that was a term that Nintendo uses for its game console. Oh, well, I'm not talking about that. If I've got operations running in one or more colo centers, plus my own data center, plus in the cloud, plus on various service providers, when something happens, either of a physical or a logical nature, I need to be able to see everything. If we receive a cyber attack, let's say at a colo, I would rely on the colocation people plus my own security and forensic staff to contain it and not let it spread. However, applications talk to applications. Infrastructure talks to infrastructure. And it may have already spread, or it may be spreading as we speak. I need to be able to see everything at once. To manage what an increasingly used term, the cloud of clouds. What's going on? And that console will be the elemental force that enables companies to continue to manage their own enterprise while their information systems are not under their own physical control and physical premises.
What are some advantages of a multimodal architecture?
Oh, well, I mean, the greatest advantage, of course, is that everybody gets what they want. The issue, to my mind, is not what is the greatest advantage. It's happening whether we want to plan it or not. For I would say in many companies, it has already happened and nobody was thinking about it. Well, somebody wants to decommission this application and use something, a service. Somebody wants to decommission another application and that service. Somebody really doesn't want to do all the gut work of monitoring and control, so we'll outsource that to a company in another country. And on and on and on until you look around and you say, where did the data center go? What's running in that data center? And the answer is, well, some things still are, but we're considering moving even the most elemental of services, word processing, spreadsheets, into the cloud too. So what's left? And what's left is a small coterie of sometimes outmoded applications, sometimes applications that are so big that it's hard to move them. I would think ERP systems would fall into that category the most. But even that, the SAPs and Oracles of the world are busily planning and delivering their products and services remotely as well.
Why does disaster recovery planning need to be different in a multimodal architecture?
Well, at the simplest level, because in a multimodal architecture or environment, if you will, the data center can't go down because the data center doesn't exist. There are many, many data centers, whatever that is, however you choose to interpret that word, that phrase. So how do you manage recovery of only a piece of it at a time? I would venture to guess that the vast majority, certainly 100% of the plans that I work with at the clients I serve, have plans that deal with all or nothing. Either the data center is gone, I need to bring everything up, or there's no disaster at all. It's either normal or horrendous. And now we're going to have to deal with some pieces going down, some combination of pieces going down, because there'll be some degree of falling dominoes, and trying to repair part of it while other things are still running. It's, mid-flight airplane repair. And that's going to be a huge challenge.
And finally, is there anything else you'd like to add on this subject?
Well, I'm sure there is, but I haven't figured it out yet. I mean, it's not that this is something new that's happening, as I mentioned before. It's something that we're just coming to realize that the little changes that were made one at a time weren't thought through as an architectural shift. But that architectural shift is happening. And I will say that more and more companies that I deal with are recognizing that it's happening and are using enterprise architect to rethink the whole coming decade. That's good news. The bad news is, as with everything else we've dealt with in the era of information systems, is some disruptive technology is going to come about somewhere around, say, 2021. That'll blow all of this to smithereens, and we'll have to think about it again. Is that good news or bad news? I tend to think of it as good news, but change is part of the reality of the way we operate information environments.
Thanks, Steve. And that's all we have time for in this edition of the podcast. To learn more about a multimodal architecture, read Steve's Isoca Journal Volume 5 article, Information Security in the Multimodal Era.